peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow believers, whom God has made us all wise for his salvation. This past week, we had our vacation Bible school. And whenever it comes to doing a VBS, it can cause me, at least, to have a lot of stress. Why? Because you never know how the children might behave. You wonder, will anything get broken? Will any child get hurt? Will they make any mess? You got to watch the children like a hawk. And even when you try, something still happens. But also doing a vacation Bible school brings great joy to the heart. Why? Because you see childlike faith happening. As the children are being instructed about the stories of the Bible, they believe them. They don't doubt. They don't question. They simply accept that this is true. There's a reason that Jesus told all of us to have this childlike faith that simply believes. That's what true wisdom is. True wisdom is not how smart and intelligent you may be, but rather, as the book of Proverbs says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And as we look at these verses from the book of Proverbs, we see true wisdom personified in the Lord. The book of Proverbs was written by King Solomon, and King Solomon had received great wisdom from God. And so he wrote the book of Proverbs to give us practical wisdom for us to follow. And you may know some of these famous proverbs, such as, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. Train a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And so here, Solomon takes wisdom and he personifies it. He portrays wisdom as a person and what wisdom does. The first thing that he mentions is this: wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out its seven pillars. Back then, a house would be built upon one or two pillars as its foundation. Here, wisdom is built upon seven pillars. It shows us that wisdom is secure. It has a solid foundation. Don't we see that wisdom personified in the Lord? Isn't God's wisdom secure and a solid foundation? God in his wisdom created everything that exists. Everything that we see did not happen by chance or by accident. It happened according to God the Father's wise plan. God the Son is the foundation of the Holy Christian Church. With Christ as its foundation, nothing can overturn God's church. Not even the gates of hell can overcome it. It's a solid foundation. God, the Holy Spirit, in his wisdom has inspired the Bible. The Bible is not a man-made book with nice stories. The Bible is God's word. It is true. It is solid. So God's wisdom is secure. It is a solid foundation. But that's not the only thing that wisdom does. Solomon goes on to say, she has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. Here we see wisdom preparing a meal for others. And when it mentions that she has prepared her meat, literally it says she has slaughtered her own animals. Back then they would have fattened calves that would only be slaughtered for special purposes. And when it talks about wine that is mixed, wine was the drink of choice for the Jewish people. And wine by itself can be very bitter. If you ever try to make your own wine at home, you know how bitter wine can be. And so by mixing spices into it, it makes wine more enjoyable to drink. Therefore, wisdom gives us the best. We don't have to prepare anything. She does it all. Don't we see that wisdom personified in the Lord? That the Lord in His wisdom gives us what is best. Not only has God the Father created the world, but He also preserves and takes care of His creation. He gives us what we need for life. And on top of that, He greatly lavishes blessings upon us for us to enjoy. God the Son has given us His best by living a perfect life on our behalf, never doing anything wrong. God the Holy Spirit has given us the best by guaranteeing our salvation and forgiveness through the sacraments. If you ever have any doubt if you are saved, any doubt that God loves you, any doubt that you are forgiven, you have the physical, tangible proof of God's grace before you. God in His wisdom gives us what is best. But there's one more thing that wisdom does. Solomon writes, "She has sent out her maids, and she calls from the highest point of the city, 'Let all who are simple come in here,' she says to those who lack judgment. 'Come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of understanding.'" Wisdom calls out to us for our good. And when it mentions those who are simple and lack judgment, it's not referring to people who may not be that smart or intelligent. It's referring to people who are foolish in spiritual matters. And so wisdom calls out to us to leave our simple and foolish ways, to walk in a way of understanding that leads to life. Once again, don't we see that wisdom personified in the Lord? That the Lord in His wisdom calls out to us for our good. When we fell into sin, God the Father did not call out to us and say, "You are now condemned." But rather from all eternity, He had this plan of salvation and He called out to us promising a Savior. God the Son came to accomplish that salvation and He calls out to us and says, "Repent and believe in me. For in me you have eternal life." God the Holy Spirit calls out to us through His word, guiding us and instructing us in God's commands so that we will not fall into sin, but to live a life that pleases God. God's wisdom calls out to us for our good. True wisdom is personified in the Lord. So now think of this. If true wisdom is personified in the Lord, then who personifies foolishness and sin? Is it not our own sinful natures, the devil and the world? Is it not us who can personify a lack of wisdom? Compare what we think is wise with God's wisdom. God's wisdom is secure. It is a solid foundation. And yet our sinful nature with its foolishness is not secure. It is not a solid foundation. And yet we can listen to it. God the Father created everything that exists. And yet our foolishness can doubt the foundation of creation. That instead of being like a young child that asks the question, why did it take God 6 days to make everything? Why didn't He do it in just one day? Rather, we can think, how is it possible that He could create everything in 6 days? Certainly God can't be that powerful. Christ is the solid foundation of our faith, and yet our foolish thinking can doubt this foundation of Christ. That maybe we fall into the teachings of this world that says that Jesus wasn't God, but just a wise and good teacher. Maybe we see those bumper stickers on the car that say coexist, and we think, how can Jesus be the only way of salvation when everyone else should be able to go to heaven. Maybe we can doubt Christ as the head of the church, that he rules over all things when we see everything that is happening to his church. God the Holy Spirit has inspired the Bible for us and to teach us what we need to know for salvation. And yet our foolish thinking can doubt this foundation. Maybe we can wonder, is all of God's word true? We may wonder, do all of God's teachings still apply to me today? We can wonder, does God's word really work on people? And so, although God's wisdom is secure and a solid foundation, it is our foolish thinking that is not secure, and rather it overturns the solid foundation of God. God gives us what is best in his wisdom. And yet our foolishness listens to the lies of Satan, which is not for our best, but for our worst. God the Father gives us everything that we need, and yet we can listen to the lies of Satan, that we grumble and complain about what we have, that we think what we have is not enough, and when life is rough, we go, where is God? He seems nowhere to be found, and yet you and I know where to find him. We find him in his word, and yet we foolishly don't go to his word to find him. God the Son has given us his best by living a perfect life for us, and yet we can listen to the lies of Satan and think, has Christ really done enough? Deep down, we all like to think that in some way we have merited God's grace and his blessings. Deep down, we want to do something to save ourselves. And so our confidence of salvation does not rest on Christ alone, but rather on us alone. God, the Holy Spirit, in his wisdom, has given us the guarantee of our salvation through the sacraments, and yet we can still wonder, does God still love me? Can God still consider me a child of God when I have done all of these horrible things? Will God allow me to come forward to his altar for communion? I don't think I'm worthy for it, therefore I'm not going to come forward. We're not worthy of God's grace and his sacraments, but he gives us these things for our best. And yet we listen to the foolish lies of Satan that drives us to doubt and despair. God's wisdom calls out to us for our good. And yet we foolishly listen to the world that does not call out for our good at all. When we fall into sin, the world does not call out to us to repent. Rather, the world tells us, what you did isn't wrong. The world calls out to us what we want to hear. Instead of listening to the truth of Christ, the world calls out to us and says, whatever is true for you, then follow it, and don't let anyone tell you otherwise. The world calls out to us only to commit sin. Compare God's commands with what the world has to say. God's commands are not burdensome. He says, love one another, defend one another, honor your father and mother, which is the one commandment with the promise that if you obey your parents, he will give you a long life on the earth. And yet, foolishly, we still listen to the world that says, hate one another. Tear one another down with your words. Only honor those that you respect so that you feel better about yourself. And so instead of following God's commands that leads to life, we foolishly listen to the world in its ways that only leads to sin and death. And you would think that God in his wisdom would disown us right away because of our foolish acts. You would think that God would remove this solid foundation of our faith. You would think that God would not only no longer give us what is best, but no longer give us anything at all. You would think that God would no longer call out to us for our good, but rather to leave us to rot and die in our sins. That makes sense. That's what we deserve. But remember the parable of the lost son that Jesus spoke. Even when the son did everything wrong, committed every foolish act and squandered his wealth, and the only thing that he could do was ask his father to have pity on him. The father had every right to disown his own son, and yet what did he do? He welcomed him back. He embraced him. He slaughtered the fattened calf for his son. He gave praise that his son, who once was lost, was now found. And don't we see that love and that wisdom truly personified in the Lord? The ultimate wisdom personified in the Lord is what the world will call foolishness. God has taken every sin we have committed, every wrong that we have done, every foolish act that we have made, and he has placed them all upon Christ, who did nothing wrong. And in return, God has given us Christ's perfect righteousness and placed that upon us. But God's wisdom doesn't end there. Christ died on the cross for us, which means our sins have been forgiven and forgotten. God, who knows all things, remembers your sins no more. But God's wisdom doesn't end there. Christ rose from the dead, guaranteeing your justification. God now declares you not guilty for what you have done, and you don't have to do anything to earn salvation. You simply believe in Christ. But God's wisdom doesn't end there. Christ ascended to heaven, where he is now interceding on our behalf, so that when we come to God in repentance, asking him to have mercy and pity on us foolish sinners, Christ is there defending us so that God will always freely and fully forgive us. And God's wisdom doesn't end there. Now receiving his forgiveness and his blessing, he guides us through his word so that we will live a life that pleases him. True wisdom is personified in the Lord. Therefore, let us have that childlike faith that simply believes in God and his wisdom. For God's wisdom is secure, the solid foundation of our faith. God's wisdom gives us the best, guaranteeing our salvation. God's wisdom calls out to us to leave our simple ways and to live a life of understanding that leads to life. True wisdom is personified in the Lord. And let us simply trust, believe, and serve him so that true wisdom may be personified in us. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Nicene Creed, which you will find on page 31 in front of your hymnal. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.